Living yesterday. Okay, yesterday we began to discuss ideas relating to the concept of the Mesorah. I have here two books. I have here by Reisman's book, Pathway to the Prophets. This is a must read. This is phenomenal. Pathway to the Prophets. It's already been at least 10 years, maybe even more. I have it all marked up. I haven't read this in a long time, but I have it all marked up. Rabbi Reisman. It is a must. We have it here on the shelf also. I saw it here on the shelf. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. The famous Gadol Hadar. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman.
Good.
This is a must read. Okay, the book, I remember there are two parts. The first part is Musar. The first part is like, you know, stories, Musar, different. The second half of the book are things that every single Orthodox Jew should know. You should know, and what's so disturbing is most of us don't know anything that it says in the second half of the book. A lot of it is a grammar, diktuk. All different ideas about Yadus. Fundamental Yisrael from his Yeshua. So he has one fantastic chapter. He has a few chapters, but one chapter that I spent some time reviewing last night is about the Mesorah. The Mesorah, Ben Osher and Ben Naphtali. Okay, who is Ben Osher? Who is Ben Naphtali? And he goes through a lot of different issues. So we're going to touch upon some of the things in this chapter. And then we're still not finished yet from this fantastic sefer called Das Konisa by Rabbi Gibbs. Okay, he has two different sections in Parshas Maaseh and in Parshas Nosoi. Ideas also this relating to the Mesorah. There is some overlap, but not much. Each one has a totally different focus. What?
Kasher,
certainly the whole of the Torah Shlema, beginning to end, is Mesorah.
Does he have anything of Mesorah? He has a whole thing of Mesorah.
He has everything. What doesn't he have is the question. That's the question. Now, what does he have? So I didn't look in Rav Kasher's sefer. Rav Kasher is a leak to itself. Okay, anyway, I just want to discuss with you a few more things to finish up some things that we did not mention yesterday. Now, we did almost everything, I believe, from what he writes here that in Parshas Maaseh, if I'm not mistaken. Kamat touched upon everything. No, there was one more thing I wanted to mention. Let's just do that before we conclude. And that is with the Perakim. The Goyim, give me two examples. Two examples of the Perakim in Chumash, in Tanakh, were all divided by the Christians, as we mentioned. And we mentioned, yes, it wasn't just that they made it for themselves. The reason why the Christians divided Tanakh into Perakim was because they needed it to use against us. During the time of the debates, the period of the 12th century, the 13th century, the great debates, the disputation. The famous disputation involving the Ramban, and the one that was before that of the Sreifa Satalman of the year 1142 with Nicholas Donin, the apostate, and which led to which with Rabbeinu Yechiel Miparis, who debated Nicholas Donin in the audience of the King Louis the Ninth, and the Queen Mother. She was really the one who called the shots. King Louis's mother, she was, and the cardinal, who was the cardinal at that point? I forgot all the. I have to go do all these things. Tishbav. But in any event, and that led to the service of Talmud. So during this time, the Christians had a hard time citing Sukkim because there were no Perakim. It was very hard when they wanted to cite chapter and verse. It was very cumbersome. There was no chapter. What? What did we do? It's a very good question. What did we do? I don't know.
Well, no. We had the parashios, and then you had the stumas and psuchos.
Stumas, but it wasn't numbered. It wasn't numbered.
But you had the parashios.
Psuchos and stumas. There are 270 in Chumash. There are 275 psuchos and stumas. Okay, the parashios, they were divided. They were divided probably way, way back. Okay, right. So there was 54 parashios. So I guess there was a little bit, there was room to work with. But the Christians, they didn't have parashios. They didn't really follow psuchos and stumos. Maybe they did, I don't know. They had a very hard time citing chapter and verse because there was no chapter and verse.
How
do we
do a Gemara? Who decided the Amid? The
printer.
The Jewish printers. They
printer.
Standardized.
Even the Goyim. The Goyim were the ones who did the typesetting.
Different amount of blot in every Masechta. No two printers had the same.
It's not sacred. It was printers.
Only
it was just, that's
when
all came
they
out.
They made the printing press, and they all got on the same page, literally.
I asked them 100 times to speak to us. You want to try? I asked him 10 times. He should give us a share. He doesn't want to talk. The person learned to read the front. He wrote a coffee book.
Printing the Talmud.
He wrote it.
Yeah.
So I asked him many times he should speak to us and tell us the history of the Talmud. It's a fantastic, fantastic book.
I brought it to Shir one time, and then he was here. I didn't know who he was. And he said during Shia that time when he asked me about the book, and I said this. He said, "No, I wrote that book." He said to me.
Okay, so maybe you have more influence. I asked him, I would love that he should give us a shiur, tell us some of the background, the history of the making of the Talmud. That would be very, very fascinating. In any event, when the Christians wanted to debate the Jews and cite chapter and verse, there was no chapter and verse. They can't say it says in Isaiah 57:13, it says that this is a proof that Yoshua is their Mashiach. What 57? There is no 57. So they made chapter and verse in order to use it as a tool to argue with us. And then it's not just stam. They made chapter and verse for their libraries. They're not interested. They only want to fight. So they needed chapter and verse to use against us. That's how it came into being. Now, they were corrupt. And they did things in order to give an interpretation of how they wanted to interpret the Bible. And I'll just give you two examples of this. That is Bereishis. Bereishis, Lahachis, they did something against us, and that is they ended their first chapter before Shabbos. Okay, six days of creation. And where does Perek Aleph end? According to the Christians, which crept into our Bible. It's Mamash Achil Hashem. We put in our Chavish Echum Shei Torah. The first parak ends before Shabbos. Vayar lekim es kol asher asa v'nei toiv moed vayere vayivoyker yoim hashishi. That's the end of chapter 1. Chapter 2 begins vayichulu hashamayim v'haaretz v'chol tzivaam. They make a statement. Good morning. How are you? Good to see you. Vayichulu hashamayim v'aretz v'chol tzivaam. Vayichulu hashamayim v'aretz v'chol tzivaam. That's not part of Hashem's creation. That's not part of Hashem's creation according to the Christians. Shabbos Hashem made 6 days. It's man's, and this is Christian theology. What exactly is the Sabbath? Anyway, Shabbos is not sacred. The Haraya, their Sabbath is Sunday. It's Sunday. What do you mean? How could a good Christian observe Sabbath on Sunday? It's the Bible. God created Sabbath. Sabbath is the seventh day. Isn't it a holy day? I mean, the Old Testament still, you know, you just can't ignore the Old Testament.
Yes, I can.
What?
Yes, I can.
The New Testament, this they also give the very beginning. All right, I'm not an expert in any way on Christian theology, but it's a statement that they don't view Shabbos as a creation of God. Okay, Shabbos, it's just the world was made in 7 days, 6 days, that's it. That's the world. The seventh day, you want to go take a vacation, so man, there's a seventh day. Klal Yisrael, Shabbos is sacred, it's a creation. Hashem created the Shabbos. Rashi says this. Shabbos, Vayichulu, Hashmai, Varetz, Vecholt, Vayichalokim, Bayoim, Hashvi'i. Hashem finished on day 7. On day 7, Hashem finished? He didn't finish on day 7.
Six.
Hashem finished on day 6. Hashem was a Mechal Shabbos, Chas V'Sholom. You can say Hashem was a Mechal Shabbos. So Rashi gives two answers. Answer number one is that lefi'os, we are not able to be precise. So from our perspective, it would appear that Hashem did melacha on Shabbos. Since we are not precise, we have to stop doing melacha early in advance. So from our perspective, it appears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. The Torah was written from our perspective. Second answer, yes, Hashem created something on Shabbos. Hashem created the Shabbos. So the first chapter is not over until Shabbos is over. And what's the proof halacha holds that it's not over until the Shabbos is over? Simchas Torah. On Simchas Torah, where does the Kriya end? On the Simchas Torah, Vayichul, after we finish Shabbos. The Mamodos, a better ride, Simchas is only a minog. The Mamodos is during the Mishnah Masechta Tanya, when Klal Yisrael came, everyone in Klal Yisrael came to the Beis HaMikdash, and they fasted. They fasted 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and they laned. What did they lane on Friday? They laned all the way until the end of Ayahulu. So the fact that the Mishnah says that the Kriyas HaTorah during the Mamados was the beginning of Chumash Bereishis, and the last Kriya goes all the way with Yom HaShishi and Shabbos, shows that it's a chelik of the Beriah. So this was a lahachistic thing that the Christians did. Lahachistic thing, obviously, because they worship them. We're dealing with Christians who are now, it's already 1,000 years into Christianity. When they are the ones who are made the parochim. How did they survive 1,000 years? They were no parochim. Christianity started with during the time of Chabad Sheni. And so now the parochim first came into existence in the year, not before the year 1142. The earliest accounts, there's even some holding was even 100 years later, but the earliest accounts of there being parochim is not before the year 1144. So what do they do until then? They just had the Bible. And now we're dealing with the real hardcore Christians, not the old Christians from the time of Bayis Sheni. The people of the Bayis Sheni, those were Christians which almost were Shom Shabbos Christians. The whole different type of Christianity then. And they went, it's Mamisha, and they were clearly observing Sunday as their Sabbath. They were not observing Saturday as their Sabbath. And it ate them up. It ate them up. How could we go observe our Sabbath, shut down all the stores, and come into the church on Sunday, when in the Bible, the beginning of the Bible, it says, "Vayichulu hashamayim v'yaretz v'cholzim v'echal lakim b'yom hashvi." It says, "Elokim b'yom hashvi." It ate them up. They know they're liars. They know they're corrupt. So the very least they did was, they put the break before Shabbos. Shabbos is not really Shabbos. The creation ended with 6 days. And then the man came along, and the Jews, the old-timers, they decided to make the seventh day to be a day of rest. But the truth is, Sunday can be the day of rest because the Shabbos is nothing special. It's a Chil Hashem that the Perek Beis begins here with Vayichulu. It's a corruption. Another idea, a very fundamental thing to their Amagin, I don't know anything about Christianity, is the Nachash. The Nachash HaKadmoini, Nachash HaKadmoini is something which is a focus of attention in Christian theology, and the Gemara I has here the name of the Amoraim. His name here it is. It's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. V'hinei Bereishis Rabbah Isa Omar Rabbi Yaakov Dekvar Chanin Sheloi Lehafsik B'Parshosoi Shel Nachash. He writes here in the Sefer Das Kanisa, Rabbi Gibbs, the Yadua, it's well known, maybe to him, not to me, Shekvar Hanin Hoya Mehamekoimois Shehaninim Hoyu Hanoitrim Harishonim Yashubo. And I didn't know this, that this city called Kvar Hanin, was the hotbed. This was the capital of Christianity in the time of Chazal. The capital of Christianity was not Rome, was not the Vatican City, it was in somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, Kvar Hanin. And I don't know where it is today. And this was the capital of Christianity, of the Neutrim. And one of their thing, one of their big focus of their theology is the mice of the Nachash. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov de Kfar Chanin says that when you lay in the Torah, the first Aliyah, the Balkriya, At that point in time, the aliyos were not broken up in the way they were broken up today. You're not allowed to be mafsik anywhere in the story of the Nachash. Because if you're mafsik somewhere in the story of the Nachash, it's not technically also according to halacha, but it appears you're noitzri. It appears you are adapting, you are embracing their theology because they were very into the breakpoints. We have to bring a Christian scholar to tell you what all of this means.
In Europe, when you learn in school to recite the days of the week, you start on Monday.
That's a new thing.
Look at the textbooks and it says...
Right, the calendars are written differently.
Monday, Tuesday,
right, the calendars,
Monday,
a European
the first
calendar...
Day of the week. Sunday is the last day of the week.
The European calendars are arranged differently.
American calendars, yeah.
Some of them.
Yeah, but you still see...
Okay, so if you notice, if you know Yoreh B'Chumash later on, Perek Dalid begins, Perek Gimel begins, V'ha'nochosh hoyo orum yikol chayas ha'sodeh. This is a statement, a Christian, it's not just a convenience, oh, it's a good place to stop. This is a Christian teaching. Like this is their centerpiece. And the centerpiece begins with V'ha'nochosh hoyo orum yikol chayas ha'sodeh, and therefore it starts a brand new parak. It's not a parasha pesucha, it's not a parasha stuma. And for us to stop the laning, Vayu Shneim Arumim Ha'odon Ve'ishu V'lo Yisboi Shoshu, according to this Medrash Rabbah, Rabbi Chonim Ibn Kvart Chanin, Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Kvart Chanin, would be Osir. If a person, a Baal Kriya, would stop here after the words V'lo Yisboi Shoshu, and he would stop here, and you have to be Choshe that he's a Christian. Because he wants to begin the next Aliyah with the section of V'ha'nochosh. So therefore, he made a takana. Don't you dare stop between the word Vayu Yishnei Marum Ma'od Yishav V'lo Yisbeshoshu. You go right into the next pasuk V'ha'nochosh Choyar Mikol Chayas Asodeh. It's halachically forbidden to stop here in this location, and the fact that the Christians put a new parak in this location is a statement. This is Christian theology. Right here in the Arachul Chumash. It's a Chil Hashem. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. Nothing you can do about it at this point in time.
What's the statement of theology?
You have to go ask, because you have to ask, I told you, I don't know. I really don't know. But it's look it up in Google. Google it. Is what do the Christians, how
sin.
Do they, yeah,
no.
The original sin of man, they view that they, I think what it means is, if I'm not mistaken, is, the Christians, there's a difference between the main difference between Christianity and Judaism is, where's your starting point? According to Christianity, the moment you're born, you're going straight to Gehenna. You're damned. You're finished. The moment you come into this world, there's one path. You need redemption. You need to do something to get yourself out of Gehenna. Yados is, the moment you're born is, Kol Yisrael Yesh lohem chelek lo'olam haba.
We gotta earn it. They gotta.
That's it. You come into this world, you guarantee olam haba. You gotta really mess up big time, to lose your chelek in olam haba. Okay, only a few people manage to do. Menashe, Yoram, Korach. Okay, you gotta be from the real, really, 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 really smart to mess yourself up to lose olam haba.
Yeah.
Christians is just the opposite. How are you gonna get to? You're going straight to Gehenim. Why? Why are they? Because that's what the Nachash did. The Hanachash Ha'arim, when the Nachash went and caused man to sin, he created an embryo that man goes straight to Gehenna. It's the root of their. I think Dr. Fuchel, that's really where it comes from. This idea, which is the starting point of Christianity, is rooted in what the Nachash did to man. It's the foundation of Christianity, and therefore you have to begin a new chapter. The Hanachash. This paragimel. Rabbi Chanan, who knew this, Rabbi Yaakov, the Kfar Chan, who lived among the Christians in their capital, knew this, and he said that when we lay in the parasha, if you go and you stop there and you saw the Aliyah there, it basically means you're showing who your real colors. So according to halacha, it's also to do so. Certainly don't make this into a new parak, don't make this into a new breakpoint. The fact that it's a breakpoint is a statement from the Christians. So a lot of things in Chumash, it just people like to say, Christians, they were just amaratzim. They were ignorant. They learned the Chumash, they didn't have Rashi, they didn't have the Mefarshim. So when you read the Chumash, like someone in kindergarten, and it's a convenient place to stop, that's where they made a chapter break. When you learn the Rashi, learn Chazal, you see now how to stop there. Also, it's one pasuk with two psukim. It says here it's 39 times in Tanakh, in Chumash. 39 times in Chamisha Chumshei Torah is there a new perek when it's either one or two Pesukim before a parasha psucha or a parasha stuma. So that's nonsense. If you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to stop when you're one or two psukim before a parasha psucha or a parasha stuma. How then can you make that into a new perek? So we like to say that the Christians, they had nothing against us. It wasn't anything against us. They're not trying to corrupt the Bible. It's just they were ignorant. They were ignorant. They didn't have Rashi. They didn't have the Mefarshim, so they didn't know. They read
the
same translation.
Just redo the chapters.
What? They tried. There were different attempts over history. It just didn't work. It's already entrenched. It's entrenched in our blood.
What you said yesterday is that we Dafka don't want to change the chapter.
To remind us, us that they these chapter breaks were all for the purpose of challenging us. So when we learn a pasuk in Chumash with their chapter breaks, what we're doing is we're being mechazek ourselves. We're strengthening ourselves, not that to follow the true Messiah of what the pasuk means. But again, the point I want to make is, when you go in yeshiva, they always tell you, don't worry about the Christians. They're amaratzim. They didn't know anything. They have the English translation. They put the chapter breaks. Part of that can be true. But there are definitely sections in Chamishei Chumshei Torah that are not just accidents. They're there as statements. They're there as a philosophy that is 100% kineged kol ha-Torah kula. It is apikursis and a statement against the Yahus. And two such examples are the first two chapter breaks in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Perek Beis and Perek Gimel is a statement of apikursis, of the statement that Shabbos, the Jewish Sabbath, is nothing. It's nothing. Couldn't be bigger kafir than this. And the chapter Gimel, the Hanochosh, how they look at the Nochosh, couldn't be bigger kafir than this. And yet, it's an Al-Chumashim. And there's no way to get away from this. That's it. That's the way it is. People try, but art school, they put the last nail in the coffin. It's not going anywhere now.
That expression is one.
Okay. Now, let's go to another idea. Okay, we're going to have to do this again more tomorrow, I see. Okay? So we're going to have to, but let me tell you one other fascinating chiddush from Rav Moshe. And everyone writes about this milsa de tzmir, Rav Moshe, the chiddush of Rav Moshe. Why is it shahaya? There's a mistake here in the book. He has the wrong parash. He writes his parashas mitazriyah. It's not his parashas mitzora. An error. But what happened? Ma'isa shehoya. And Moshe was at shul. I guess he was in yeshiva in MTJ. I don't know if it was MTJ. It was somewhere else. And it was parasha. It was mincha. It was a year. I guess it was a leap year. And they laid at mincha parashas mitzora. Maybe it was Monday, Thursday. I don't know. The first Aliyah, may I make a mistake? The first Aliyah, they lay in the first three Pesukim. Okay, yeah, here it is. They lay in until whatever you give the Kohen. They lay in for the Kohen his Pesukim. They're up to Levi. They call the Levi, Amoyit so and so Halevi. The Baal Kriya lanes, the first, there are many psukim here in this Aliyah. It's Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes. There are four psukim. There are four psukim in this Aliyah. In the second Aliyah from Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha. And the Baal Kriya got confused and he stopped after two psukim. He lay in the pasuk Esatzipor Hachaya Yikach Lisa. And then he lay in the pasuk Zayin V'Yizo Al Hamitaher. So, maybe it was Parshas Tazria. Give me 1 second. I want to make sure I'm saying it doesn't make a difference. No, it does make a difference. No, I'm right. It's Parashas Metzora. It's Parashas Metzora. He lay in two psukim. So, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? What do you do in this situation in Shulchan Aruch? And the one who got the Aliyah, he made the bracha acharayna. So it says in Shulchan, this is the Magen Avraham. I think it's the Magen Avraham. It's not in Shulchan Aruch Mamish. It's the Magen Avraham when it was the Taz. Taz, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Magen Avraham the Taz. He says, if you lain for a person two psukim and they make the bracha rishon the bracha achrayna, then that person himself should make, they should do it again. He should, the person who got the aliyah himself should make the brachas again. Make the brachas again, asher bochar banu, and they should lay in the whole aliyah, the correct aliyah, for at least three psukim, and then he should make the bracha asher nosanlan. Why? Because if you're going to give it to another person, the person made a bracha levatala. Basically, that's what the Taz says. He made a bracha levatala. A bracha levatala of asher bochar asher nosan. Only laying two psukim. If you're going to punish him by giving the aliyah to a new person, you botched up. Get out of here. Because the Balakri made a mistake, so you give it. So then people are going to get the impression that you can give four aliyahs during the week.
Right.
If you call up another person to repeat the mistake, you give the impression that you can, that you, and you don't do that. We only lay during the week three aliyahs. And since this person's brachos were brachos levatola, so it does no harm done, give him the aliyah again. He'll make the two brachas all over again, which will be for the first time, and no one's going to make a mistake. I think you can make four aliyahs because we gave one person the same aliyah twice, so they realize it's a mistake. That's what it says you should do in the Taz. Rav Moshe knew the Taz literally bal peh. No one's coming to doubt that. And Rav Moshe paskind, no, call up another person. Call up a new person. Don't call up the same person. And let the new person continue where he left off and lay in three psukim. And the next aliyah, they should lay in another three psukim. So they said to Rav Moshe, but the Taz. So he says, there's a difference between a short pasuk and a long pasuk. This is a chiddush that you're not going to find anywhere else other than Rav Moshe finds Nigus Moshe, an incredible chiddush in the Mesorah. We have a Mesorah, there are 5,000, how many psukim are there in the Torah? There are 5,480 and 60, what did I say, whatever it is. Chazal said there's 5,888. 5,888. According to Alan Mesorah, it's off by 42. It's off by 42. There are 42 more psukim in Chazal's version than our version. So Moshe says every single pasuk is a suspect. That it might not be one pasuk, it might be two psukim, it might be three psukim. Every pasuk, like Yidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, you're going to say the pasuk, a very short pasuk of, let's see this pasuk. Vayesh Yisrael Begrar? No. A short pasuk is not a suspect. We let him go free. We let him go through the gate. He can get on the airplane. No, we're not afraid of him. But a long pasuk, any pasuk that's a long pasuk, which has an esnachta, and then goes on, is a suspect. Is a suspect. It might be one of those psukim that the Mesorah, our Mesorah, has been corrupted. If the Gemara says there are 5,888 psukim in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and we have in the Aruch Scroll Chumash 42 less psukim, who's right? The Aruch Scroll, the Gemara is right, or the Aruch Scroll Chumash is right? The Gemara is right, and the Aruch Scroll Chumash is wrong, with all due respect to the Aruch Scroll. It's wrong.
You even proof to it.
It's wrong.
There's a psik there in the middle of that pasuk.
Is a psik in that pasuk? There's a psik?
Yeah. Yeah,
which pasuk? Which pasuk? What psik? Pasuk Vav?
Yeah,
the ace. So what?
Sick. So usually psik goes in the same pasuk. So it could be
just
what?
No. That's for pronunciation.
Every pasuk, Rav Moshe says, if you have the shiloh where there are two psukim, when you lay in two psukim and it's a long pasuk, you can take into account the possibility that there's a mistake in the Aruch Scroll Chumash. And really, it's two psukim. Menela, the one who got the aliyah, did not make a bracha levatala. And now if you're going to give him the aliyah again, He's now making a bracha levato. In fact, we had this whole discussion before. What happens if there's no levi? There's no levi. Who do you give the what do you do for the next aliyah? So the minig is you give the kohen two aliyahs.
Right.
That's a very controversial. We do that. Okay, we do that. That's very controversial because many poskim say it's better the kohen should go out before, and we should not give him a double aliyah because it's a chash, a bracha levato. It's a bracha levato because he already got the aliyah. You don't make it to get aliyah twice. It's a very controversial thing to give a person two aliyahs back to back, the same two aliyahs. So we do it. That's the minhag Yisrael. We do it for because you'd have to have kohen levi because of the situation. So halacha allows for it. But in a situation where you're laying two psukim, and now you're only laying two, you're laying three psukim, now we have to go give another aliyah. So should we go and call up the same person again? So Rav Moshe says, if you're laying two long, so if one of the psukim is a long pasuk, every pasuk is under suspicion. It's better to assume that it's two psukim, and therefore the person who got the aliyah has lain three psukim. So that when we give another person a new aliyah. And what's the reason why we don't give another person an aliyah? Because we don't want it to appear that we're giving four aliyahs on a Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha. We don't want to give the marasayin. Better there should be a marasayin that there are four aliyahs than have a person make two brochois levatollah. But the Taz says it's not a bracha levatollah because the first aliyah, the first bracha was already bracha levatollah. Rav Moshe says the Taz only discusses the case of a short pasuk, but a pasuk that's a long pasuk. Every pasuk is a suspect. It might be one of the, because we're missing 42 psukim in the Torah. So maybe really it's two psukim. And Rav Moshe says, especially any pasuk after the midpoint of the Torah. I forgot how he has the midpoint of the Torah. The Gemara says where the midpoint is. And with the midpoint is which would mean that all the extra psukim are on the second half of the Torah. So this is a chiddush that has been noted by many Gedolei Yisrael to be the koyach of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe sometimes says chiddushim which are very, very, very novel, very powerful, because the Taz doesn't say this, doesn't make the differentiation between a short and a long, yeah.
Then why did Rav Moshe require to call a fourth person? If he's Yotze with three Rav Moshe,
that far you don't want to go. The Rav Moshe, that far you wouldn't want to go. That because there's no harm done. Halacha l'mayit's only two psukim, so therefore you have to do it again. He's making a bound. There's an equation. There are variables. It's not a perfect situation. Rav Moshe says in this situation, I feel this is the ideal thing to do. There's a chash bracha levatol, the chash marasayin for aliyus. This is the ideal thing to do in a situation where you have a long pasuk, being that every long pasuk may very well be more than one pasuk. Oh, the Mesorah Arshul Chumash? No, the Mesorah is problematic. Not everything is perfect in the Mesorah. Okay, Bruno, we'll continue some more tomorrow.